And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. In Acts chapter 19, verse 31, we get to see something that happens in our country and other countries as well. We see the mentality of the mob. The mob gathers together. They do so out of a fleshly unification, which usually has no specific direction or purpose, other than the ultimate manifestation of wounding people. Most people in a mob don't even know why they're there. They're just caught up in the excitement of it all. Next, we now come to what I consider one of the most interesting portions of Scripture that gets little response or attention. How do you know that, Dave? Because there's not a lot of commentary work on it. Something unique happened for the people of Ephesus to worship the great Artemis. Something so weird that in truth, if it happened today, people would worship in the exact same way. What could we possibly be talking about? What could Satan possibly use to throw a wrench into everybody's theology and focus the world on worshiping something other than God? Well, we will examine that and see. And first, as I'm apt to do, I would like to point out a very brilliant principle laid out in Scripture relating to standing in the truth. In this text, the mayor of Ephesus makes it clear, in a very real sense, the apostles, the disciples, and the Christians did not speak out specifically against the great Artemis. This is important because he recognized that it wasn't an attack on what they believed as much as a promotion of what the disciples believed in. In other words, they were being attacked for what they believed in, not for what they were speaking against. The key is sometimes we need to speak for something and not just against something.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. See, that's a spiritual observation. I observe something, it's spiritual, I comment. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, hey, what do you think? What's your thoughts on that? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. What? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that phone call, I know it's a phone, and you have to push little numbers. I get it, okay? But if you call, and when you call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, that's the same feeling you get when you're just being appreciated for something you do. Just being appreciated. Like, that's a nice feeling, right? That's what it's like talking to you, bro.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. And by the way, that'll be
350.
350. 350. That'll be, you wanted 350. Okay, anyway, there we go. So, that's right, people. I do those kind of things. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a praise report. You know what's cool about a praise report? I mean, you just go to Psalm 40. And so he puts a new song in your heart, put your feet upon a rock, new song in your heart, and the people that hear the song, they trust the Lord. When you share praise reports, it blesses people. I mean, it just blesses people, period. When you have a prayer request, you bring it, we pray. Why? Because it helps. It helps the person praying. It helps the people praying for the person. It helps us unite. That's why we should be praying for Samson, that the Lord helps him in his situation. What we need to be doing is taking care of one another, blessing one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another. I just want to make this as clear as I can. There are a multitude of shows before our show and after that are much better than our show. I have no problem saying that. They've been doing it longer. They're better at it. That's the way it goes. But what we're doing is trying to encourage you in the middle of the day. Just every once in a while, just say, hey, keep it going.
And we have sound effects.
And that's right. And we are one of the few shows that has really very inexpensive sound effects.
Someone calls in, we have the sound effect where the phone rings. Yeah. No other show has that.
Come on. Who does that? All right. We also do trivia, Bible trivia, in fact, that is. And here's Bible trivia, and you guys should know this, and I'm not going to be hesitant to say it to you. What bird was represented when the Holy Spirit landed on Jesus at the baptism? What bird was that? What bird was that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at the baptism, what form of bird was taken? That is the question. Get that? That's the question, okay? Do you have somebody ready to answer that? We've got a lot to cover, by the way. And we are going to get into one of the coolest, weirdest, okay, let me just say this, one of the weirdest teachings. I have no problem telling you that. In the meantime, we do have somebody ready. Are they ready for that? Yeah? All right. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm going to ask you to pray for me and my family just because of the kind of heightened intensity around the world for Jewish people. So this is something I'm going to drop on people for prayer. So I'm going to ask you to do that for us at a later time. But I am doing great because I believe the Lord's return is closer.
I believe it is. I believe it's very close.
Very close. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm waking up thinking, I know this is terrible to say, but I'm waking up thinking sometimes when I go outside the door, this could be it. I just think this could be it. I mean, might not even make the drive. The Lord will just come back. That's fine. Then I won't be stuck in traffic. All right. Anyway,
one sign is this increase in lawlessness. That's one of the signs.
That's right. You know what? That's a brilliant point. And that's one of the things that when it says that the love of many will grow cold.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how cold is it? It's incredible. It's unbelievable. 40 years ago, never would have thought it. Now you look at it and go, can't believe it's this intense. It's just
incredible. And he's also said the days of Noah and the days of Lot.
That's right. You know what? That's right, man. Excellent, excellent insights. All right, you still got to answer the trivia, okay? So here we go. What was represented? What kind of bird, what form of kind of bird was represented when the Holy Spirit at the baptism of Jesus landed on Jesus? What kind of bird?
A dove.
That is correct, Raimundo! It's a dove. Now, I got to say this, and this will just be out there because I'm that irritating today, and that is, it's a dove. And some people say, see, the Holy Spirit's so soft, and it's only like a dove. Okay, but then there's other times where the Holy Spirit comes like a wind, a fire, and all this other stuff. So in that case, it was a dove, but in other cases, not always a dove. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Exactly. Let me pray over you, my brother, because I love you, and I just can't. I will not stop praying for you. I don't care what you say.
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We rejoice with our brother Gary. He has insight, Lord, as to how it's coming because he's read your word. You've told us in advance these things were going to happen, the increase of lawlessness, as is in the days of Noah. The love of many will grow cold. You've told us. and we're watching it before our eyes. And instead of being afraid, you haven't given us a spirit of fear. Let us have a strength of power, love, and a sound mind. And now we're lifting up our brother to you, and we're asking you to bring healing into his body. He doesn't need kind of healing. He needs healing, the healing power that was manifest at the resurrection. That's what he needs. And we're asking you to pour that power into him and let him be strengthened from within by your anointing, by your power, by your healing, because you are Jehovah Rapha. We ask you to bring that healing for him in the only worthy name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. And I will be praying for your family, for you and your family.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I really do.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to do our DNA, and then we're going to break, and then we're going to come back, and some people have some questions. I'll do my best to answer those questions, but we're going to do the DNA first, then break, then come back. So it's really important to do DNA because I can't do this show if we don't do this. Not the DNA part. I can't do it if I don't do the D part. If I don't do this D in the DNA, there's no show.
Is it daily?
It's so daily. It's draw closer to the Lord. Every single day or daily. That's exactly right. It's not the mayor of Chicago. Okay. It's just every, it's not the Daily Planet newspaper. It's just every day, daily. Right? I mean, can you say that any different? How do you say it different? Like every
can't.
Day, any day that ends with Y? just like, come on. All right. Draw closer to the Lord daily. No show without that for you. You think I'm kidding. that is not one show that I've ever done that has not happened. It's just not going to happen. Okay. If I can't do that, there is no show. Okay. All right. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 wait. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, even if you don't get it. And some people get it. You just you need to use a balance in Scripture. So some people take one Scripture and just yell at the rooftops. But there's other Scriptures where it talks about whispering. So learn what the situation gives you and operate that way. Know the Word, all of it, in and out. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which takes you past you. We've said this before. Have other people's life enter into your life so you can have more life. And learn to do that. Learn to be connected to that. Learn to function in that way so that you can have the abundance of life. If you can't add more life into your life, then you're probably not getting as much of the Lord's life into your life that you want. And you want that. I want that. Everyone wants that. So do it that way. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready to serve. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where some of our really, really good trivia people who answer want to know if it's Animal Day. Because the two trivia questions, you got donkey, and then so you got dove.
I never caught that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good catch. And the answer, you want to know what the answer is? No, but the next one is about animals. I said, it's actually, it's not that day, but it is, in fact, the next one, too. Okay, here's your next trivia question. We're losing it. All right, what did King Jeroboam build for the people to worship? So when the northern and southern tribes were created, so Rehoboam, they had asked Rehoboam, hey, dude, your dad was really tough on us. Can you be a little softer? And Rehoboam was like, my finger is going to be like, you know, it's going to be like the waist of my father, my pinky. I mean, I'm going to strike you with scorpions. So then Jeroboam and the 10 tribes went one way and the other two tribes went another way. So Jeroboam became the king of the northern tribes, and he put up two particular animals to keep Israel in place so they wouldn't gravitate to the southern tribe. What animals were they? Were they two golden pigeons, two golden snakes, or two golden bulls? Interesting, right? Two golden pigeons, two golden snakes, or two golden bulls. Your reference point will be 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28-ish. This is kind of like where it is. He put up two kinds of animals to keep the people because he wanted them to worship the animals instead of going gravitating to the southern tribe. What animals? Was it snakes, pigeons, or bulls? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Also, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So what kind of animals did the dude put up at both ends of the northern tribe to keep them in the northern tribe and worship? Was it snakes, pigeons, or bulls? That's the question. All right, number two. Yesterday, and I want to give props to Aunt Deb because she asked me a question about this, and she wasn't being mean or anything like that. She was asking a question about trying to understand things. And see, that part's fine. If you don't get something and I'm sharing it, ask me. We'll do our best to answer. Sometimes we can answer it right in the show. Sometimes we can't. I mean, it just depends on the flow. And I think you guys know in this show we do a lot of flow. So that's how it is. So one of the things I didn't get to expound on, which I wish I would have expounded on yesterday, is because I made a quick statement and then I kind of just went and didn't give it more time because I didn't have more time to give it because we were at the end of the show. So I want to do a little addendum An addendum, Dave? Yeah, I'm not changing what I taught. I'm adding to it so that it might make a little more sense. And so I wish I had more time to dive into it, but let me just get into what I was trying to say. So we were talking about yesterday about the Holy Spirit and that if you have don't have a sense of assurance that there could be a problem between you and the connection with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. It means that the communion with the Holy Spirit needs a little bit of help, a little bit of work. So what I want to say, though, and you got to listen carefully or you're not going to catch this. The idea behind it is this is not based on feelings. Okay, I want to say that's really important. This is not based on feelings, whether a person feels saved or not. See, that's entirely different. That means a person's being led by their feelings. Completely different element than what I was teaching yesterday. Why is that important? Because your feelings can be accurate and deceptive depending on what the situation is. By example, if you had, in our example, if you eat 500 tacos and 300 churros and 400 Mountain Dews, you will not feel the love of God. You will feel the need for a bathroom, but you will not feel the love of God. That feeling is not does not necessitate truth. And what happens is when we let feelings be the lead in our lives, there are some things that we will actually get right, but there's more things we'll end up getting wrong because your feelings are not always accurate. So I'll give you another example. Every guy out there who's over 25 who's ever had the bad flu, every time I've talked to anybody ever, I'm dying, right? No, you're not dying. You just feel like you're dying. In other words, it's just not true. But it feels that way. Okay, I got it, right? Or how about this expression after you've eaten dinner? I'm so full, if I eat another bite, I'll explode. Okay. No, you won't. But that's how we express things. So I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say. That the person, if they feel saved or not, that's all about the feelings realm. What I was trying to teach yesterday is that believers can walk in assurance or the guarantee of salvation, which the Holy Spirit provides if they have communion with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, then instead of being like discouraged or like you failed or something, that's the point where you say, hey, if being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit testifies to our salvation, then what we need is we need to have a greater sensitivity if we're not operating in that. So it's not to be me, it's to say challenge, accept, challenge given, challenge accepted. We need to get that going so that we need to understand that in the Spirit in your life, there is a confidence that you are saved. And I want to say a couple things about that real quickly for those of you that are saved and then you struggle with the feelings part, okay? And I'm not trying to guilt anybody, so make sure you understand. I'm trying to get you to move the needle. That's what I'm actually trying to do. If you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, any of the nine fruits, you obviously have the Holy Spirit. But what you might not be doing is having that communion. The Holy Spirit is called our counselor, right? How are your counseling sessions going? That's the question. And that communion can lead to assurance and confidence. But it's not based on feelings, because if you base it on feelings, that's too up and down. So you, and another thing I'd like to say, there are some people that are just like, I'm very concerned that I'm not saved because I'm trying to walk with the Lord. Using truth to dispel that lie, the truth is that only people who are saved care about being saved. If you're a person who's not saved, you don't care about not being saved. If you're a person who's concerned, I want to make sure I'm in, I want to make sure I'm there. Only Christians have that yearning. Only Christians have that desire. Only Christians have that moment where I just want to make sure I'm in there and, you know, so on and so forth. So I want you to separate between what I was talking about with the Holy Spirit being your counselor and giving you assurance of salvation and that the difference between that and feelings that say, I'm not feeling saved, or lies that say, you're not saved. Remember what Satan said to Jesus. What did he say to Jesus? If you are the Son of God. Well, if Satan says that to Jesus, trying to instill doubt as to who he is, why do you think that you would be any different? Why do you think you'd be any different in Satan challenging you on whether you're a Christian? If he did it to Jesus, he's going to do it to you. He's not going to say, if you're the Son of God. He's going to say, if you're a child of God, then that's the doubt. And you overcome doubt and lie with the truth and faith. But you can't let your feelings be the dictator. In your communion with the Holy Spirit, though, there is assurance in that salvation. I want to make sure you understand that difference. And the reason that's important is because the enemy will use stuff like that against you. It's like, no. The enemy doesn't want you ever having a sense of security, ever. His goal is not to help you be a Christian. Okay. I don't know how to say this any different. When the pitcher is up there playing baseball and he's the closer and he's trying to win the game, his goal is not to serve up a really juicy ball that the other player can smack as a home run. He's trying to get the guy out. Well, that's what Satan's trying to do to you. Trying to get you out. So I want to make sure you understand that differential. And I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to make sure you get it. Because the enemy will use stuff like that against you. And you ever get into that situation and you're not sure, hey, ask. Hey, talk to people. Hey, make that, connectivity. But the goal should be all of us to be more sensitive to that communion part of the Holy Spirit, because that assurance is very strengthening. And in today's world, there's a lot of insecurity. But in that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there's security. You should know because you believe, and that's faith. And faith triumphs doubt. Faith is greater than fear. Faith is greater than doubt. You should know because that Satan's just going to drop lies against you, and against lies you use the truth. And against walking in the flesh or the old man, you should be walking in the spirit and the new man. Those are three ways to give you incredible assurance and powerfulness in your and diligence in your Christian walk. Okay? And if that doesn't help clear it up for somebody, don't hesitate to send me an email. I'm not going to go, oh, bad person, email. Right? That's not how that works. Well, it hasn't worked that way yet. I could be something, somebody goes, you're really fat and stupid, I might say something, but I don't know. Who knows? All right. When King Jeroboam built the two elements for people to worship, was it two pigeons, two snakes, or two bulls? And the answer is, two bulls. He put a bull at one end and a bull at the other. And he said, these are your gods, Israel, worship these. And he led all the people into idolatry because he was not that bright. That's why. Okay, we'll take our break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned, which is, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me, and I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, arr, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off. Okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, smart, not smart, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, so the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free, I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every...
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's Amen, 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, getting ready for our next trivia question, and it's a good one. It's a good one. What was the name of the coppersmith mentioned by Paul? What was the name of the coppersmith mentioned by Paul? Dude giving him a little bit of difficulty, as you will, you know, this is a coppersmith. Is it Alexander, Agrippa, or Felix? Alexander, Agrippa, or Felix. This is somebody that Paul didn't think of as a very nice person. Is that a nice way to say that? Did me much evil. That's what he says about him. Did me much evil. So this is, now make sure you understand the difference. There's two different ones. There's Demetrius, who was one of them, but that's not the one we're talking about. We're talking about who was the one that gave him problems that he wrote about in Timothy. I think it's in the Timothy letters. Boy, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Timothy. Please double check for me. Maybe I got that wrong, but I think that's right. All right, so we do have somebody that feels like they're ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother again.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, first of all, I'm going to publicly apologize for my
earlier. Don't worry about that. Okay, don't worry about that.
And now I'm going to give the answer for your trivia question.
Okay.
So you mentioned three names, Alexander,
Agrippa or Felix.
Felix. So Felix what's his name?
Agrippa.
Like they were the Roman officer, like a judges or attorney or something like that. So let's eliminate those two. So our answer is Alexander.
That is correct, Amanda, sir. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord repay him. Uh-oh. It's like, oh, that's not nice. Anyway, that's how that went. So excellent job. Right on target with the triv, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. So now, another thing I'm going to do is send you up to the website. Why am I sending you up to the website? Because I need to send you up to the website. That's why. Because we could use the money. How do you say that indifferently? I don't want to go, we're broke, but I want to go, we're flush. We're neither of those. Okay, we're just in the same need we've been in. Please check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I really don't have an answer for some of those things. I just want to point that out to everybody. All right. So I hope you guys are listening. I hope this show is getting through to you. I hope it's making some sense somewhere. It's got to make sense somewhere, somehow. All right. We are going to do our history, and then we'll launch into the teaching. So let's do our history sound.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, today, this is one of them that I like. I don't know if everybody else likes it. I like it. Noelle likes it. So because we both like it, it's well-liked. Today is pulled pork day. I love pulled pork.
I do, too.
That's
a good one.
I just love that. 1892, on this day, the Pledge of Allegiance is first recited by the students in the United States public schools. Unfortunately, they eliminated that. And, oh, by the way, notice how the schools are, like, much worse. It's like the fact of life. Did you hear about that score? The lowest score in 35 years on math, English, and science in 30 years.
That's just crazy.
The lowest score.
Well, my little sister, she started out in public school, but now we homeschool her just because we've noticed that it's gotten worse.
Program them early, and they will be programmed for life. Okay, that's a problem right there. By the way, on this day, faith people. We're kind of like, this is funny. 1901, on this day, the first non-religious record was recorded on this day in 1901. And you know what it is? I told you guys this last year. This is a classic history thing. The first non-religious thing recorded ever, three blind mice. How about that? Three blind mice. Okay, and I've done a whole teaching on how fractured those fairy tales really are, because it's three blind mice. See how they run. They all go after the farmer's wife, who's chasing them with a butcher knife. It's like so dark. It's like what? How can we teach that to kids? First of all, it's three blind mice, and then it's like they're chasing after a woman, and then she's chasing them with a butcher knife. How is that something that kids are like? Isn't that great? Okay, just a thought. 1999, on this day, the world population hit 6 billion. Wow. Now it's like 7.8 or something. It's getting up there, right? That reminds me of a joke, but I can't tell it because people get offended, so we'll just wait on this. Let's go into the text that we're supposed to actually teach out of the book of Acts. It's only 20 minutes left in the show, so we're eventually going to do that. Okay, how about right now? Let's go to this, and I want to point this out. This is in Acts chapter 19, and we are at, we're at verse 31, and it says this. And this is after, remember, there was a big ruckus, and they wanted to bring Paul in there, or Paul wanted to go in there. They're like, you can't go in there, dude. You go in there, they're going to kill you. Don't go there. Just stay steady. Avoid the danger. And everybody told them, no, you can't go in. Now you can't go in. So now all these people are gathered inside. Now listen to what it says. And why this is important is it should, I'm not saying it's gonna, but it should teach you and I one of the things or one of the dynamics that happens in mob mentalities, okay? I'm not picking anybody's political anything. I'm not saying it. Listen to what happened, though. Verse 31 of Acts 19. Inside, the people were all shouting some one thing and then some another thing. Everything was in confusion. In fact, most of them didn't even know why they were there. Okay, see? We always think that stuff that happens in our country or stuff that happens where it's like it's new. It's like, that's not new. At this point, you would quote Ecclesiastes, which says there's no new thing under the sun, although he didn't know about resurrection. So that, you know, that's kind of like a challenge thought right there. But what's going on is all the people get together and they all converse on the inside, and it's a mob. Now, what happens is it's not like a dance-off in a mall, okay? This is like a big mob of people, right? and hundreds and thousands of people, and they're all gathering, you know, or around the most important kind of gathering places, and they there's a big excitement. Hurry, run to the Colosseum. Hurry, run. Why? I don't know. Everybody's just going there. Go, go, go. And that's why they're going. And so even in some of the things that have taken place in the last 5 years politically in this country, people have been interviewed. Why are you here? And some people go, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of people there. And it's just like, see, this is the problem. People gather. They don't even know what's going on. And who's the author behind all of this? Well, it's all coming from confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. So if God is not the author of confusion, then where is it all coming from? Well, it's certainly coming from Satan. It's certainly coming from worldly systems. And it's certainly coming from the worldly and the flesh. And people gather, and they don't even know why. They don't even know why they're here. Verse 33, Alexander was thrust forward by some of the Jews who encouraged him to explain the situation. So he's gonna answer. Okay, I'm going to answer. He motioned for silence and tried to speak in his defense. But when the crowd realized he was a Jew, they started shouting again and kept it up for 2 hours. They don't even know what he's going to say. They don't care. What do you mean they don't care? All they know is he's a Jew. And they go after it. Yeah, you're right. No parallels today. Just look at it and go, wow, that's amazing how much of a parallel that is. And all they're screaming is that their God's the greatest. Their God's the greatest. So he's asked to explain it. He starts to tries to explain it, but he needs people to be quiet because he can't talk louder than the mob. And as soon as they see he's Jewish, now forget it. They go crazy. And for 2 hours, they're shouting again and again, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Now, why this is crucial or critical is because they're all gathering. They don't know why. They don't know what's going on. All they know is that they're together and this Jewish guy is going to talk and we can't let the Jew speak. He can't explain himself. So let's just shout him down. Or if you're in Israel or in Gaza, let's just kill him. It's just like, what is going on? It's the darkness of sin that is in the world. Stop thinking. It's like when people are like, well, it's the fulfillment of prophecy. Yes, but the fulfillment of prophecy is to bring an end of all the sinfulness that man brought into the world in the garden. That's what's going on. Jesus is the redemption from that which is lost. What's lost? What we're looking at right now. It's lost. It's horrid. It's horrible. There's no justification. There's no anything. And, you know, I'm not going to go down the road everybody wants to go down to. And, you know, the vengeful attacks and this. And it's like, listen, I stand with Israel. You should stand with Israel if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. I said it clearly. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you should be standing with Israel. Does that mean Israel's always done everything right? I don't know. If you read the Old Testament, you already know that's wrong. But you also know they're God's chosen people, right? And re-emphasized in the New Testament. Not unemphasized, re-emphasized as part of the elect. And all that's going on is the whole goal is to destroy that which God loves. Will it succeed? No. Will it hurt before it's over? Yeah. In 1,000 years, will it matter? No. It will be done. And when that day comes, we all get on our dancing shoes and start dancing on streets of gold. Yeah, baby! That's what we want. All right. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience.
So we chatted about it on the phone, and it turned out that he had a pastor who used to be his pastor reach out to him and say, the Lord put you on my heart. You know, I want to know what's going on with your life. He had another person say, hey, if you got this situation, let me know. He was talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. And it was like he had like four sources of support and didn't even realize that what he was seeing was the circumstance, which we all do. And when we pulled it back and looked at it, he's like, yeah, there's like four different places he was getting support from. And it's like, that's amazing. But see, that's not that amazing in the context of just what Peter and John said when they went into the temple. Children, you men of Israel, why does this miracle surprise you? Why does it even surprise us? God does so many things to reach to us and to speak to us. He is never, let me just say this, he is never absent from your tragedy. He is never disappeared from your circumstance. It's never happened. Long before you said yes, God said yes to you. Just think about the level of that, the commitment that would take. That means that God looked at my life and in spite of my insanities, said, yeah, we'll take him. Is that amazing? Think about how amazing that is. And so I was, somebody had sent me a video about somebody who had an experience in heaven. And I was like, well, you know, I like some of those, but some of those are kind of weird and squirrely and da 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 da. And then the Lord was reminding me about my own dream that I had about making it in heaven, where God had the king had his arm around me and he's showing me different things in my life. And here's where you accepted my son. Let me tell you something. God will reach you and touch you and speak to you. The biggest question for all of us is, are we listening? Do you remember what happened when the Lord spoke over Jesus? The Father spoke from heaven over Jesus. And the Bible says that the people thought that it thundered. But it didn't thunder. God spoke. See that right there? That right there. Yeah. Because what we do is we think, oh, it thundered. But it's God speaking. The biggest question is, are we listening? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, where I cannot even tell you what just happened for me from the Lord in this last 2 minutes. I'm going to tell you in a minute, but I'm not quite going to tell you yet. It's just, let's just say it's cool. The rest of this is going to be, I believe, led or ordained by God, and so I really want people to pay attention. We'll do our trivia question first. The trivia question, how many people were baptized on the day of Pentecost? The question is it 3,000, 2,000, or 1,000 people? How many people were baptized on the day of Pentecost? 3,000, 2,000, or 1,000? Your reference point will be Acts 241-ish. I think it's, 241. How many people were baptized on the day of Pentecost? 3,000, 2,000, 1,000. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. You can do those things there. In the meantime, we are going to do a couple of jokes because they're funny, and the end of the show is going to be lights out fantastic, so I can get away with it. Are you ready for the joke dismissal process? Okay, here we go. All right. The teacher is teaching the class. The law of gravity explains why we stay on the ground. Chloe then responded, well, how do we stay on the ground before the law was passed? You guys got to think about these. Dad, can you explain to me, son, what the D and the F are on your report card? The son. Yeah, no problem. It stands for doing fine. All right, last one. Son, great news, Dad. Dad, what's the great news, son? Son, you don't have to buy me any new books next year. I'm taking all of the same courses over again.
Mission failed. We'll get them next That's a good way to put a spin on it. Okay. All right. Now, listen. Here's what we're going to do. I was just talking about the mob, but here I just – during the fill, the Lord had given me something that was in my mind, and I was going to bring it up and then didn't. My bad. Okay. And in the fill, it was brought up. Which is like, okay, I'm getting this from the Lord. Like, I was supposed to bring this up, didn't bring this up. So now I'm going to bring it up, and I want to talk to you about it. And it's really simple, but for some of you, it's going to have a very profound effect. And if you will just listen and understand, it may be helpful. The scriptures that we're going to use are going to be very simplistic. It's not going to be complex. But I want you to understand something about your salvation. Okay, so I want to talk about your salvation. All right. The reality is, and I'm going to say the scriptures, just follow along. The reality is, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the reality. And Romans 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is death. So if all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death, guess what? We're all in trouble. The remedy to that, so that's the reality. The remedy to that is... again, Romans 6, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the remedy. In other words, we sinned, we're falling short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And another part of that remedy is God showed his love for us while we were still sinners. So even though we're sinners, Jesus died for us. Even though we're still sinners, Jesus died for us. Even though we've sinned and fall short of the glory of God and deserve death, the gift of God is eternal life. And while we were still sinners, he died for us. So that's the reality. That's the remedy. Here's the response. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the reality is that we've all sinned. The remedy is that God has provided an answer through Jesus Christ. The response is we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. The reassurance. So you got the reality, the remedy, the response, and the reassurance. Is John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so that's the reality, the remedy, the response, and the reassurance. So when yours truly was an early Christian, believing in God, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. Believing that he ascended to the Father, is at the right hand of the Father, and will come again. Believing in the testimony God has given in regards to his Son, and that I, as a sinner, throw myself at the mercy of God, seeking his grace and mercy, recognizing that my good works are never sufficient, but that his grace is abounding continually. When I had all that going on and I was in my early Christian walk, I kept on messing up. I just kept doing stupid things, saying stupid things, doing stupid things, and thinking stupid things. So one night I prayed and I asked God, because I was already a mess and I really wanted to know, was I going to make it? I had already had the increase in persecution. You guys, it's not really even persecution. Me being stripped from my family and so on and so forth, that's not persecution. When people are having their bodies mutilated for their faith, that's persecution. But great discomfort in not having a family, I'll put it that way. I prayed and said, Lord, am I going to make it? That night, and I've written this down 100 times, I had a dream that I was in the throne room of God, like in a heavenly throne room. And I've mentioned it before, and there's a reason we're doing it again. And there were all these different beings, There's some of them were very human-like, some were not, but nothing was like grotesque or anything. And then there was this king, and he was absolutely a king, and he was right next to me. And he put his hand on my shoulder and was pointing at the screen that was on this wall, and the screen must have been 24 inches high and hundreds of feet, like, wide. Like, it just, like, it was 24 inches or so high, so you could tell it wasn't very high, but it kept going and going. And this is what the king said. Well, here you did this, and here you did this, and here you did this, and then he did say this, and I wrote it down. And here you did this, and that wasn't good. Just like it was of all my bad stuff, it was like a really bad thing. Right? Like, this was not good. And I was like, oh. He goes, but here is where you accepted my son, Jesus Christ, and that's why you're here today. Then the dream ended, and I woke up. Yes, I think that's special blessings from the Lord. Yes, I'm superbly grateful for it. Yes, not worthy of it. Yes, whatever blesses you from the Lord is used to bless others. And you could be just like I, making all kinds of dumb statements and thoughts and actions. And God could be pointing out the different things in your life. But the moment that you said, yes, I surrender, please be the Lord and the Savior of my life, that's when you secured your position, your travel documents to spend eternity with God. If you've never done that, I plead with you in the name of Jesus to do so. If you've done that, I plead with you in the name of Jesus to rejoice. Because God is absolutely perfect dealing with his kids, which includes you. Okay? All right. All right, folks. You have the answer, by the way, was 3,000, and that's how many were baptized. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.